Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm Matt Weston. Tonight, I'm joined by my good friend Taylor, the Josh Allen to my Cole Beasley. How are you doing tonight, man?
No, in this case, it's I'm the Deshaun Watson to your Kiki Cutie.
Well, Cutie doesn't play at all.
Well, I just like, why are you insulting? See, this is your problem. I then try to correct you by putting in the Houston players. You then try to correct me for putting in the Houston players.
How about...
Do you feel good about yourself?
How about I'm the DeAndre Carter to your Kiki Cutie?
You know what? I don't even want to talk to you anymore.
I don't even know who I am. How about I'm the steak to your steak and taters in a Nighthawk dinner?
I'll be the taters. You could be the steak.
Sounds good.
All right, I'm in.
There we go. If you ever
taters
need a good appetizer.
Part. No,
you're having
an appetizer.
A cocktail party.
You brought that on New Year's Eve, and I go, what is that? And I brought a Nighthawk. I go, Matt, you bought $50 steaks. What are you talking about? Yeah, I know. I need an appetizer. Who the hell eats a Nighthawk? A Salisbury steak
with
taters?
You have to remember your roots, where you come from.
What do you mean you got to? That's enough.
You have to know where you came from.
And by the way, it's
can,
not even like really
enjoy.
A steak. It's just like a little burger patty that's just drenched in who knows what.
It's like little dog turds is what they are. Dry. The taters are better than the steak.
What's the juice on it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's
leachate. There's a lot of it.
It's just the bomb of the, it's just all the juice from the bomb of the landfill. Mm. And they just put that on there.
That's what they made.
Actually, the back of the container
that's how
is awesome
so
though.
Cheap.
It was just like this like buff torso with the cartoon hawk on the head. It's like badass.
I'm getting this for an appetizer.
This is what I'm working up
so
for.
So you're saying all Nighthawk has to do is advertise his appetizers instead of entrees.
Exactly.
And they'll win.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
After the shamanhood's over, maybe this will do. I'll have a Nighthawk dinner party. A lot of Nighthawk dinner appetizers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're no fun. This is where nobody's going to be hanging out with you. For how long?
I guess 3 months.
Okay, so nobody hangs out with you for 3 months. You have zero friends.
I mean,
got it.
We still hang out. We still
I'm
have
not
fun.
Talking to you.
Yeah, we still have fun.
What do you mean? There's no fun with you.
Okay, we can go get dinner. We can...
and have an intellectual conversation about politics and
we
religion.
We can go to the movies. We can go to the art museum. We can watch a film and have a conversation afterwards.
No.
We can get a cup of coffee every once in a while. I'm trying to lower my caffeine intake, too. It's a very complicated plan here. To find the divinity that the universe has to offer.
When we go to the movies, we gotta have beers.
No.
When we go out to dinner, we gotta have beers.
You can.
Whenever we have a coffee, we gotta have what's the Irish one? Irish coffee.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's called. Okay.
What's the coffee?
What's
the Irish one?
What's the Irish coffee one? Oh yeah, there, boom, all that. That's what we have to have, and you'll have none of it. You wanna know why? Because nobody wants to hang out.
I'll drink water, and I'll have a cup of coffee, get a little crazy.
I don't want to talk to you.
Some decaf coffee, though.
How do you have friends?
I have more friends than I should have.
That's fair. Yeah. At this point in my life, I feel the same. Because now whenever somebody wants to be my friend, I feel like I'm too good for them.
No, I don't like it.
Hey, Taylor, you want to do something this weekend? Yeah, I'll see you this weekend.
You want to, like, hang out sometime? No.
No.
I would, but I have to, like, do a lot of stuff.
Isn't it sad? I kind of use my lady always. Oh, man, the lady. Sorry. Lady, I got something to do. Oh, Taylor, she wears the pants in your relationship, huh? Yeah, I guess so. See you later. I just like to use that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like why the dog can't go over to your house because of the lady.
That could be the case as well, but who knows?
It's fine.
She woke up. Why did Matt text me?
Yeah, I sent a little sad face. I was like, what is this? I'm very sad you're not going to New Year's Eve.
And she was like,
but
I don't know why you sent this to me.
Mainly, I'm sad that you won't let the dog come over.
She had no idea.
Play with your dog. Look how pretty she is, though.
Okay. Your dog eats my dog for fun.
No,
I'm not even kidding. Your dog puts my dog's head in her mouth, and it's supposed to be fun. He is drenched in slobber.
And he's laughing.
He's never been more scarred in his entire
life.
He's
having a great time. He's laughing. He's like,
no.
Oh, Elsie, you're so funny.
Mini Schnauzer versus a German Shepherd.
She's not a German Shepherd. She's a mix. She's not all mean like a German Shepherd. She just loves a little too much.
She's bigger than a German Shepherd.
No, she's not. Have you seen one? They're big.
I have seen one.
She's not bigger
than
one.
I've seen her.
She's not bigger than one. All right. So last week was week 17. The NFL regular season is over. This is when we separate the children from the infants, you know? The men from the boys. The women from the girls.
Children from the infants?
This is when we really play some real football. And this week we have the wild card round of the playoffs. But before we get to our preview, where we'll preview each one of the games this weekend, we have some very important news we need to discuss.
What are we discussing?
So the Jameis Winston Triple Crown came to a close.
Okay.
33 touchdowns, which is second, behind Jackson. He threw two touchdowns at the half, and I thought he was going to do it, but he didn't because they had to recover a fumble for a touchdown. They had to hand the ball off for a touchdown.
He was so terrible, and you think that he's going to be signed again. And
they're
going to
tag him.
You can't tag him. You know exactly what you're going to get every single time. Matt, what is he going to improve on?
He's 25.
And also, he's had such a great receiving core. The only thing you could really say is he's never had a true running game, but he wouldn't run it anyways.
I mean, he threw for 5,000 yards, Taylor.
What does that mean to me?
He threw 33 touchdowns, Taylor.
How many interceptions did he throw?
30. So he.
That's so awesome.
But the other thing also about this Triple Crown is he did throw 6 pick sixes. If you factor in that.
Is that more than Matt Schaub's?
Yeah. Schaub just threw him every week in a row is all he did. He threw 4 in a row, 1 every week.
That was so awesome.
It wasn't awesome. That was one of the worst years of my entire life.
Whatever. I'm going through hell over here. Okay.
Well, I'm not done. Let's finish this first.
Oh, you got more.
So he threw 6 pick six. So I think in a way he actually broke the touchdown for it. So we'll actually make him first for touchdowns thrown. The issue here is sacks. He was sacked 47 times, which is second. Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray were all sacked 48 times. I think Winston was sacked only once last week, so he finished with 47. Second, he was so close. He almost did it.
If you're not first, you're last. And plus, what do you mean you almost did it? He's still behind 3 guys.
By 1 sack, though.
Doesn't matter. So you wanted him to get hit 2 more times?
Just 1 more.
So then it could be tied a 4-way?
Yeah, it counts.
You're gaining for a 4-way?
Yeah, it still counts.
There's no.
You're still first?
No.
You're still first?
I don't think that's the same thing as actually being first.
Yeah.
4-way tie is not the same thing as being first.
Yeah, it's still first.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's like a participation award at that point.
Okay, it's like we go bowling. I bowl a perfect game. You bowl a perfect game. We tie.
That's a terrible game. I feel like I would be so happy, but also at the same time, what the hell? Why did you get that?
I don't know. We tied, though.
No, but it's not. And by the way, that's a terrible comparison.
Look, he almost did it. I'm just proud of our guy.
No, this isn't our guy. Don't try to turn this around.
As the captain of Jameis Winston's boathouse.
Yeah, you're the only captain of his boathouse.
And the butler of Josh Allen's farmhouse. I really hope we get another year. The boat stays in the bay again next year. I hope we get Winston franchise tag there. And next year is the year.
He's gone.
They make the playoffs.
He's so gone.
Who are they going to replace him with? Dalton?
I don't know, but he's sure as hell not staying.
Cam? Maybe Cam?
Ooh, Cam. If he's healthy, though, is he even healthy anymore?
Josh Rosen?
No, that's gone. That's done for at this point. Fitzmagic has been doing so much more.
Yeah.
Which is the weirdest thing.
Fitzmagic could go back to Tampa Bay, I guess.
Did you know that Fitzmagic has beat New England with every single team in their division?
Oh, really?
He's beaten them with Buffalo, New York, and with Miami. How freaking crazy is that? You might as well just pick a Fitz if you're in that division. Just be like, you're only going in during the New England
game. Gotcha. Maybe that's what Buffalo needs to do. Bring him back.
That would work. Can you believe that, though? And I saw that. I go, that's freaking crazy.
So he played for the Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Titans, the Texans, the Rams, the Bucks.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
He didn't go to Indianapolis?
No.
Okay. Be the only other one that I would think of. I don't know, but that's nuts.
Yeah. Even I kind of liked him in Tennessee because he would break a lot of tackles. It's kind of cool. Again, you want Fitzpatrick to not be on your team. Like, whenever he's not on your team, it's great. He's like, oh, he's so funny with his beard.
Did Miami turn into a solid contender?
He takes stupid hits. Oh, yeah, he ruined our chances of a first-round pick. Oh, he's so funny. Yeah, it's great as long as he's not on your team. Oh, and he played for Cincinnati also.
Okay.
He started 1 year, went 4-7-1, 8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Only 26 years old in 2008.
Oh, hey.
And then he went to Buffalo and became the star there for 4 years in a row.
There it is.
4-4, 4-9, 6-10, 6-10. You know what his career record is?
What is it?
55, 83, and 1.
And yet he is always picked up, no matter what.
Like, he'll fart you into too many wins.
He will.
You can't win 2 games with him as your quarterback. You'll win 5 wins. You'll win 6 games.
Yeah, he needs to come in at like the very last 4 games of the season or something like that.
Or like the first 2 weeks also.
Yeah, just let some magic keep going.
Yeah, I like magic. Do you believe in magic?
Any young girl's
No. I believe in Magic the Gathering.
No, okay.
That's how I'm getting into during the shaman.
No, man. If we're going to be talking about anything, let's talk about The Witcher and magic. Hell yeah. Geralt.
Yeah.
Dude, if you're not watching, what are you even doing with your life?
I'm watching football. I'm riding
football.
You're not
doing anything.
I'm making content.
You're not making anything. Talking about Jameis Winston over there like he's a saint. What do you even do over here?
I would send you something that I write, but you don't even read it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, now we're getting sensitive.
Yeah,
here
it doesn't
comes.
Even matter.
Here's the waterworks.
I wrote 3,000 words about the Texans' run offense and Bills' run defense today about Red Blog. You can read that if you get some time.
Why don't you send me the link?
Okay.
Instead, you send me links of like naked girls.
Shh.
Pervert.
Shh. You mean women, not girls, Taylor?
I'm sorry.
All right.
I apologize.
So, this week is a wild card round the NFL playoffs. We have the Buffalo Bills playing the Houston Texans. The Texans are 2.5-point favorites. We have the Tennessee Titans playing the New England Patriots. The Patriots are 4.5-point favorites. We have the Seattle Seahawks playing the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are 2-point underdogs at home. And we have the Minnesota Vikings playing the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are 8-point favorites at home. Do you like the AFC-NFC split up like this?
Yeah, I don't have any problem with it. Are you like wanting to go what the NBA is probably going to be turning to here?
I'm talking about all the AFC games are in one day, all the NFC games are in the next day. Oh. I kind of liked having one AFC game, one NFC game, you know?
Wait, I thought the AFC game, are you sure? I thought New England and then were Saturday.
Saturday night, but Houston plays Saturday afternoon.
Oh, see, I thought it was for some reason the Saints. So Saints and Minnesota are the night game for Sunday.
They're the day game for Sunday.
I could have sworn then that it was New England.
No,
and
they're
Saints.
They're the night. They're the 3:30 game.
Whatever.
Yeah, which is bad for Minnesota.
I don't know.
They're just gonna get louder and drunker.
Either way, if it is split up like that, I don't care. They're back to back days. Does it really matter?
I'm just used to it the other way, is all.
But it's back to back days. So you're going to find out within 24 hours. So it's not really that big of a. You're not waiting.
I know. My brain is just gray and rigid, though.
I think you just have problems and you just want to complain. Dude, you're just Moaning Myrtle over there.
So what's your Super Bowl pick?
I don't know. I'm so depressed right now.
What is it?
Stop yelling at me. I'm just depressed over here. I still have Jason Garrett on my freaking team, dude. He's going to be my coach. I'm so sad. I'm never going to win a Super Bowl.
Dude.
I don't even want to know what Super Bowls are like. I don't know what to do.
Wait, no, you were alive for a Cowboys Super Bowl.
That doesn't count.
Don't you remember 1996?
Yeah, I was 5.
Don't you remember that?
Whatever. All right, so my Super Bowl pick. At this point, I feel like it's going to be, if I'm going the safe bet, can I have a fun bet and a safe bet?
Sure.
Okay. New Orleans versus Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens is my safe bet. My fun bet would be the Minnesota Vikings versus the Tennessee Titans.
Ugh.
That would be the fun bet that I have, which, by the way, who knows? My picks today could be going that route.
I just don't like I don't understand the NFC very well.
Neither do I. I think it's anybody's game at
this
point.
I think Baltimore is going to the AFC.
Yeah, I think that's...
Like, I think they're going to trounce it. I think they're going to trounce the AFC.
Me too. I don't see who else is going to be able to stop them.
I mean, Kansas City's the only team that could beat them, but you have to think about Andy Reid on the road. 2-minute, you know, 4-minute offense decisions.
He's going to screw it up in the last
2 minutes.
Always
screw something up.
He won't have any timeouts.
Their run defense is so bad, too. Like, unless they
were getting better.
They have to go up by 2 touchdowns, but also when they played in week 6, this is a different Ravens pass defense now. They've improved tremendously as a pass defense because of Marcus Peters trade. Their pass rush has gotten better. They've understood their identity as a team that blitzes. Humphrey's gotten better. They've been healthier. I think Earl Thomas has fit in a lot better, understands his role in the defense more too. And also Jackson's gotten better as well. I just think the Ravens, and you know, the Ravens have improved since that game. I guess you can kind of say the same thing about Kansas City anyway, since they're fully healthy again.
So here's my only thing, though. With everything you say, I agree with. But I don't like, Matt, no matter what anybody tells you, no matter how good you are, a two-week layover. And that's what Lamar Jackson's going to have here.
He's going to have a three-week layover.
Is it three? I thought it was just two. Because wasn't it
two-week layover?
Last week, this week, and then he plays next week, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll be fine.
That's still a lot. I'll always remember when the Dallas did this crap, but then again, Jason Wynn and Tony Romo went to Cabo, or wherever they went with Mexico, Jessica Simpson. But I don't like that long of a time where
what a time.
I know.
What
I
an
hate
awful
that time.
Culture.
I hate that so much. But there's going to be rust. And do you think that maybe it would take like the first half for them to pretty much get going while whoever they play could already be on a hot streak ready to go out shooting? There's always that chance.
I guess so.
That's why I say Baltimore is the safe pick.
They're well coached. I think Jackson with the rust is better too.
I think they're safe pick.
He's been hit a bunch, you know.
I don't like the 2 weeks no matter what you tell me.
The NFC, I don't want to go New Orleans. I don't want to go San Francisco.
I definitely don't want to go San Francisco.
I don't
want to
go
this.
Philadelphia. I would have gone Seattle, but they're just so hurt.
They're too banged up.
I don't like Green Bay. I don't like anybody in the NFC.
That's why I think it'd be fun.
Can
for
we
Minnesota.
Just like get Jameis in there instead?
No.
Let's replace Seattle with Jameis.
What is your problem?
Let's do that.
No, and Jameis would lose against Philly.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Get Mike Evans and Chris Godwin back.
That's not going to help.
Yeah,
why? So then he can bomb it even more and throw more interceptions. Jameis is not good. Can we just not
just wait till next year?
I'm so done.
Oh, no.
You might as well have a podcast dedicated to Jameis.
Oh, it'd be fun.
Jameis' number one fan.
Oh,
you know what's called? Crab legs.
Actually, this is important. I figured out how to use iMovie.
What?
And so I made a Josh Allen like 2-minute video just to like try it out.
You made Josh Allen a 2-minute video.
I didn't make him.
Did you send him a private video that was 2 minutes long? What was on the video?
I made a 2-minute Josh Allen video.
What was your 2-minute video to Josh
Allen?
Just like, what were
it's
you
just
doing?
It's just a few highlights.
Of you doing what?
I'm not doing anything. It's all him. It's just
so
like,
what is he doing to you?
It's just like the coach's film of him running around making plays, you know, being Josh Allen. But I'm going to make a video of every Jameis touchdown, every Jameis interception, every Jameis sack in iMovie, and put like little title cards, you know?
It seems like kind of a waste of time.
For sure. It's going to be fun, though.
It seems like something that nobody wants to see because nobody thinks Jameis is good. Nor does anybody believe he's going to have a job next year.
He's going to have a job next year.
He's a backup.
You know, he wants like $30 million a year.
Oh, who told him that that's okay?
That's what he said at the press conference. That's post conference. Like, I think I'm worth like $45 million a year.
You know what? He's worth $50 million a year, according to you.
Whatever he wants, he can have.
Yeah, exactly.
The football's better with Jameis out
there. So you'd rather have Jameis than Deshaun?
No. I mean, from like a fun perspective, Jameis is more fun than Watson. Because,
no!
Yeah, because he throws the ball downfield, and that's the best part of football.
Deshaun, he throws the ball downfield, too.
Only when Will Fuller's healthy.
Doesn't matter. Is Will Ferrell healthy right now?
No, he hurt his groin 2 weeks ago.
Is he still out? I thought he was coming back.
This weekend.
I thought they were going to have him back this weekend. I thought they were holding him out in order for him to be back this weekend.
No, you know what's going to happen? He's going to play 5 plays. Like, ooh, I'm hurt.
Is that what he's going to do?
And then he's going to be out the rest of the game. Ooh, I'm hurt.
He's really
I didn't know he has braces.
Does that now change your opinion on him?
No, I like it whenever I see athletes who get braces, you know?
Oh, yeah?
Like their 20s
like
or whatever?
A part of modern civilization?
No, it's just like...
What a judgmental ass you are.
No, I just like it. It's like, yeah, I got some money. I can afford something I've always wanted to do. It's good. It's better than getting like a new,
good for you.
Better than getting like a fancy car, you know?
God, you and your rich family.
Okay. All right. I don't want to talk about the past.
Yeah.
From Nighthawk dinners to Wagyu beef ribeyes.
It's been a lot.
We're here, mama. We made it. All right. So, the Houston Texans against the Buffalo Bills. Do you want to start off talking about the Texans or the Bills?
I feel like I just should let you go on your little crybaby rant right now.
Crybaby rant.
Well, this one's going to hurt you. This is what you feared most. You came into this, what was it, like 6 weeks ago, where you were finally starting to worry, being like, this would be my worst nightmare.
Yeah, it is.
So now that this is your worst nightmare, I feel like the floor should be yours.
I wish Houston was playing Pittsburgh or Tennessee.
Of course you do.
Or Oakland. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. I think the one thing that's... There's a lot of things that's interesting about this game. One, I think it's going to be close. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be difficult for both teams. Well, in some ways. The one thing that's interesting about... One of the many things that's interesting about this game is that the Texans are in a situation where their run offense is... It's whatever. You know, it's a lot of Carlos Hyde.
It's Adam. I mean, it's
running
okay.
The ball first. And it's okay. It's... I'm very myopic whenever I look at it because I'm like, well, they have Watson and they have Fuller and they have Stills and they're all in on this offense and they should be led by their deep passing attack, but it isn't. And instead, it's led by this whole Carlos Hyde running the ball 225 times.
Establish the run, man.
Establish the run. There's a lie they tell you to control, manipulate you. But the Bills have, you know, a top three pass defense, but then they have a mediocre run defense. And so you're like, oh, yeah, the Texans may actually have to run the ball to beat Buffalo. And then you watch the video, and it's like, well, the Bills' run defense struggles whenever they, you block the second level well, whenever they miss tackles, and whenever you're able to do things like run a power run scheme that gets your big guys on, their linebackers. And then you look at the Texans, like, well, Carlos Hyde has break tackles. Their offensive line blocks the second level well, but they use their tight ends to do that a lot of times, and it never works. Their tight ends can't block very well. And the other thing Buffalo does really well is they're good at setting themselves up for the right down situation. So it's first and 10. They're going to load the box up. They know you're going to run the ball. They're going to run blitz. They're going to run stunts. They're going to do a lot of aggressive things to make it hard to run the ball against you. And Houston loves to run the ball in very obvious run situations. And then you add all that, you combine that with Will Fuller not being healthy. Then you're up against a top five pass defense. And despite how great Watson is, how great Hopkins is, it's going to be hard for them to score points this game. And it's just going to be close. It's going to be brutal,
All right. So that's actually kind of what I was going with as well, where I'm really not confident in Buffalo because of their offense. The only thing that has me worried is I really did believe that Fuller was healthy. So that's why I was going into this game believing that Houston would do really well. And they would have more weapons than Buffalo would be able to handle, even with their great secondary. It's just too many guys to cover. Plain and simple. I mean, if you had Stills out there, if you had Fuller out there, you had obviously Hopkins out there, then you have something where every guy is spread out versus they can take away somebody.
Yeah, this idea, but it never works like that, though.
Yeah, but it can.
It should.
And this is
that's what's made this team so frustrating at times.
But this is where I feel like that's why you have Deshaun in this case, because Deshaun has proven that he's a winner. As I can talk smack about the Texans and all that as a Cowboys fan, he's a winner at least, so he's going to be able to make those plays to those guys. Fuller being out does take away such a big dynamic to where then Buffalo can start focusing on other things. And on the other end, though, I don't like Josh Allen. I have been very consistent with this, and this is the whole thing. Buffalo will win if Singletary goes off and if Josh Allen doesn't make a mistake. But I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to make several mistakes. I'm seeing at least a fumble, maybe even two picks here. I don't think it's too much pressure. The crowd's going to be going crazy with JJ. I am not confident at all. But if Singletary goes off, it really does change it.
So when you say you don't like Josh Allen, do you mean like you don't think he's that good?
He looks to run before passes.
I mean, he obviously doesn't. Well, what's funny is they played him last year. Buffalo almost beat Houston. Allen hurt his elbow and was out for like 5 weeks. He's taking a bad hit. But he like casually stiff-armed J.J. Watt in that game on a 12-yard scramble. And like,
that make you feel good, Matt?
It was just unbelievable.
Is that what you liked?
And that was like 2 weeks after he jumped over Anthony Barr. Like, this guy is one of the most spectacular players ever. I think the one thing about Allen why I think he'll be fine this game is that he's a good short pass thrower. Like, sure, he misses throws. Who doesn't?
You're complimenting Allen over Watson right now. I want to let you know.
No,
this.
I'm not doing that. I mean, Watson's by far the better quarterback, but just as far as just like the way their passing offense is set up, Allen's completed 66% of his short passes for 2,175 yards, 15 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Houston has the 30th ranked short pass defense by DVOA. They allow a completion percentage of 72%. They've allowed 28 touchdowns on short passes and only 7 interceptions. And their run defense, I mean, the reason why their points score total isn't as high as it probably should be is because they don't face a lot of drives. But they're like 30th in the league in points allowed per drive, yards allowed per drive. And teams can move the ball well against them. They've had some turnover luck. The Texans run that ball control offense that keeps their defense off the field, too. That helps it. But I think Allen should be able to consistently find Cole Beasley, John Brown, Knox in their short passing game. The one thing they struggle with, though, is deep passing. Tayshaun Gibson's out, so they may be able to take some more shots downfield, too. And then on top of all that, it's just kind of like you're saying, I think it's going to be close both ways. Watson's the better quarterback than Allen. He's going to be able to make some plays happen no matter how good the opposing defense is, whether Fuller's out there or not. Hopkins is good enough to win the middle of the field, sit down and find holes in his own coverage that they'll be able to move the ball to. And so I think this game is just going to be very close. It's going to come down to, I think, which quarterback can make plays and then also which team wins the turnover battle. And it's like, as long if Allen doesn't have 3 turnovers or if Watson has 2 and Allen has 1, I think that can be the other thing that swings this game as well, too.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I would say the turnovers are really going to say, as well as, you know what? It really is kind of a quarterback battle because it's who's going to not screw it up. Who is just going to be able to make the plays when you need it most. But that's where I feel like Houston's going to be able to have that momentum going into the game with JJ and the crowd, like I was mentioning before. And just for the record, Matt, what jersey are you wearing today?
An Andre Johnson jersey.
So now I'm conflicted because you would think that, oh, Matt's wearing a Texans jersey. Yeah, yeah. So this is like positivity. But at the same time, you're not wearing an up-to-date player. Like, you're not wearing a JJ, where you would think you'd be really pumped, be like, all right, this is JJ's game. Back. This is what I'm talking about. Texans, playoff football, let's go. But you're downgrading every single position that you have here, and you're just complimenting everything Josh Allen does. You know, I'm not a smart guy.
Let's talk about J.J. Watt real fast.
Okay, go on.
So Watt's back. They're saying he's going to sparingly play. He's coming back from a torn pectoral. The matchup available to him in this game is Cody Ford's their right tackle. He struggled all year long, pass setting from that tackle position. Oklahoma, when they pass set, they just take a slide step over and make contact. And they have really wide splits. And they're not really pass protecting. The ball's out really quickly. And Ford's been really good as a run blocker. And because he's taking a lot of slide steps and not that typical pass that he hasn't been able to figure out just yet. So I assume Watts can play in obvious third down situations. He'll get matched up against Ford, and he'll have those opportunities to make some effort as a pass rusher. I think that's where Watts, talent will come through, or Watts' ability to come back already in this game. But again, like, he's supposed to try to bring down Allen, How's he going to do that?
See, look at this. Look how awful you are. This is where Allen,
I don't think Watt's going to play like 45 snaps. I don't think he's going to play against the run game much. And then that also kind of feeds into Buffalo's run offense, where it's a power run scheme. Charles Omenihu, who has had a lot of struggles this year as a run defender in the power run game. So I'm not thinking he's going to play very much. It'll probably be Carlos Watkins, Dunn, and Reeder, and then Watt coming in on like 2nd and 10, coming in on 3rd and 12, coming in on 2nd and 9, or 3rd and 9. But the Texans are also like 30th in third down defense right now, too.
Yeah, well, that's not good no matter who you are. But either way, whenever it comes to, but that's what we were kind of talking about earlier with Singletary going off. Do you think Singletary is going to have a big game here? Or do you think, because do you think it's a running back of who has a better game between them?
I mean, he's
really
awesome.
Going to also be the story?
He breaks a lot of tackles. Like, he breaks tackles from like TJ Watt, and he bounces off Bud Dupree. And, he can do those sorts of things. But Zach Cunningham has been awesome. Benarja McKinney's awesome. He's back from his concussion. Both those guys tackle well. And so I think they'll do a pretty good job bottling up Singletary. Merciless is fine whenever he has secondary blockers against him. I'm not worried about like Singletary like running for 150 yards or anything like that.
I feel like that Houston should just all out blitz every single play.
They should.
Just hit Allen every single time.
Allen's 28th in QBR whenever he's blitzed.
That's all you need to do. And you'd be able to scare him, make him see ghosts, because no matter what...
He doesn't see ghosts.
He sees ghosts.
He doesn't see anything.
Yeah, oh, what does that even mean?
He definitely
doesn't see where to pass the ball. He sees where to run.
I don't think God sees like how we see.
Wait,
so I don't think Allen sees how we see.
Did you just compare God to Josh Allen?
In a way.
What do you mean in a way? You just made the comparison.
I just don't think he sees things like how we see things.
So you think that we are all mortals and he is something above us?
I think he's just a modest guy from a...
I hope Josh Allen goes 14 of 28, has two interceptions, 138 yards.
How many yards rushing?
I'm going to say 105.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And guess what? He still loses.
He still loses.
He still loses. I can't believe you. Make me sick.
So Buffalo's averaging 19.6 points a game.
Yep.
They're allowing 16.2 points against the game. They've allowed more than 21 points four times this year. They lost three of those games. And so it's like, if Houston can get to 24 points, they're going to win this game. And all Houston has done this year is get to 24 points. But this is the best defense they're going to have played against so far this year.
But.
I mean, it's the best defense. Well, I guess New England's is a little bit better numerically, but they haven't, I don't know. I feel like they haven't played as many good teams as Buffalo has.
We'll get into
defensively
that.
Wise. So, yeah. So what's your pick for this game?
It's easy. Like you just talked about right then and there, Houston's going to get to the magic number. It's going to be 24. Josh Allen's only going to get to 16, though.
Okay. Are you ready?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He just took off his jersey like it was the NWO Wolfpack in the house.
I have.
Kevin Nash is here right now. Kevin Nash. Sting is coming from the ceiling right now. He just switched sides. You are wearing a Josh Allen jersey right now. This is professional wrestling that just happened. What is your problem? You're such a traitor.
I'm going to go Buffalo 23, Houston 20.
I knew that. That Andre Johnson jersey gave it away. I knew it. I knew you were a backstabbing SOB. You are wearing a Josh Allen jersey on Houston Playoff Podcast. Listen,
I have Buffalo 23, Houston 20.
You don't think they're going to get to the magic number?
No, I don't.
Wow.
Really, it's going to come down to Watson being Watson being spectacular, which he can do. I think this is a bad matchup for Houston. This is a really good defense. Without Fuller being out there, this team has been almost unwatchable throughout the entire year. And this, Allen, their running offense matches up very well against their defense. And I like Allen's ability to extend plays, run whenever he needs to, and attack Houston's pass defense with a short passing game.
Hey, Trader, can you just do one thing for me and scream, Wolfpack in the house!
If Buffalo wins.
Oh my God.
So what was your pick again?
My pick is Houston 24, Buffalo 16.
That's a good pick. I think for sure that just take the under if you're going to bet on this game.
Why was the under?
I think like 44.
Oh, yeah. Definitely take the under on that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the under, though. I'm excited for this game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think it's going to be a really hard-fought game. I think it's going to be really good.
It's going to be one possession.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... Yeah, exactly. I think no matter what, it's just going to be always like back and forth until the end when Josh Allen has to make a play and he can't because he looks to run.
Okay, I talked to Kevin Massari today. I asked him, I said, do you think Josh Allen looks to run or
he
looks
said,
to throw?
Hell yeah.
No, I'll send you the link.
All right, send me the link.
You have to play it at 15:14.
What?
When I asked the question.
Okay, deal.
All right. So the next game we have here is Tennessee against New England. The Patriots at home, they're 4.5-point favorites. So let's finalize this whole Tannehill versus Mariota thing. Tannehill completes 70% of his passes, Mariota 59.4%. Tannehill had a touchdown rate of 7.7%, Mariota 4.4%. Interception rate 2.1% for Tannehill, Mariota 4.4%. Tannehill averaged 9.6 yards an attempt, which is like something nobody's done since Matt Ryan, I think, had 9.2 in their Super Bowl season. Mariota averaged 7.5 yards in 10. In DVOA, Tannehill was at 28.1%. Mariota was at negative 16.8%.
That's good, right?
Very bad.
Dude, I said this from the start. I've always said that Tannehill was going to take over. And this is what happens. Because Tannehill is not a bad quarterback. He just got dealt a bad hand in Miami.
I think everybody has Miami.
I think that's what it's proving. Because also, if you don't believe me, man, who's the best running back on Arizona?
Kenyon Drake.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
You know, Arizona
just took Johnson's job, your favorite player.
I know.
That was also the other thing I wanted to throw in your face real quick.
Yeah, I was really excited for him to be back this year. So he didn't catch 150 passes, and he never did.
He never did.
He looked pretty slow, though.
Yeah, he didn't look fast. He had no breakaway speed. Almost like Fatboy Zeke, almost.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fatboy's still eating right now.
I bet he's enjoying his life right now.
I hate him. I hate the entire team.
So the one thing I see about Tannehill for a problem in this game is I think he's a see it throw it quarterback where he doesn't really like feel guys being open. He has to wait for them to open. Then he makes throws and he's able to do so because he has such a great arm and he's accurate. But like he doesn't really anticipate things well unless it's within the design of the offense. Now he's taking a lot of sacks, a lot of bad sacks where he's like holding the ball for 5 seconds or so. He's like he hasn't been stripped more often than he is. He gets hit really high. It's kind of gruesome. Some of the hits he takes.
He takes them.
I know he takes them, but he's been hurt. I mean, like, I'm surprised he was able to escape through the season without an injury because he's been hurt throughout his entire career. But New England loves to blitz. They have a blitz rate at 37.1%, which is sixth. They have 47 sacks, which is tied seventh. They're only 15th in pressure rate at 24.1%, which is surprising considering how much they blitz. But they don't have, like, an elite pass rusher. You know, I guess what their best pass rusher is? Lawrence Guy,
man,
Kyle Van Noy, Deontay Hightower.
I just don't understand. I'm trying not to feel like, I don't want to hate on New England because they're New England and we did this last year in the playoffs and we look like ass. But I just, man, I don't see New England after what they did against Miami, how they're going to be able to pull it out. And obviously there's some type of disconnect between the coach and the quarterback at this point in their careers. It is bad. And if that defense, for me, doesn't stop Derrick Henry, this is going to be a blowout. I mean, it's going to get ugly if they don't stop Derrick Henry. And that's what I don't think they're going to be able to do. Even though they have been great against the run, don't get me wrong, No, they actually haven't been that good.
They've been great against the run. I think they're better against the run than you think they are.
Yeah, they've been good, not great.
I think
great.
You underrate their run defense.
But if Derrick Henry's going off, it's going to open up so much for Tannehill to cannon. And it's just going to be...
Well, I think it's the other way around, though. It's like their play-action game.
You think that
game.
He's going to do the cannon before they do the setting up of Derek?
That's how it works.
But I get... No. For me, I feel like it's New England, though, which means you're going to... I feel like they're going to feed Derrick Henry a lot more than trust Tannehill with the arm.
Yeah, but they should... I mean, the thing about Tennessee that I've really enjoyed, though, is how they throw play-action on 2nd and 10, on 1st and 15. They're actually first in the league in play-action passing with 10.1 yards of play. New England is 10th in play-action defense, allowing 7.3 yards of play. On non-play-action plays, New England's only allowing 5.1 yards of play, which is second. And so, like, New England is a good play-action defense, but it's not at the same level in non-play-action passing at all. It's also funny, too, because that number includes Mariota as well. So I wonder what Tannehill, I bet it's probably, like, 12, 13 yards of play.
The good news is he's getting franchise tagged.
You think so?
Oh, I know so. Because if they don't pick him up, dude, somebody's going to sign him within 5 seconds. It's going to be ridiculous.
Tampa Bay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, let's switch him.
If he was with Bruce Arians for next year with those weapons and that deep, that's not funny.
That's fun.
That's not fun. That's a damn good team. See, that's what I'm talking about. If you switch Tannehill and Winston is garbage, Matt. And that's what that would show you right then and there. We're even talking about how Tannehill would be crazy good for them versus Jameis.
He'll figure it out.
Either way, going back to the game, though, New England, let's go on their offensive side here real quick, only because Edelman may blow up tonight.
I want to bring up Henry real fast.
Oh, go on. I already brought up Henry.
So, well, Henry with Ryan Tannehill this year, 190 carries for 1,124 yards, 5.92 yards an attempt, 12 touchdowns, 49 first downs. New England's like, you know, they're a top 10 run defense. They're pretty good stopping the run. But Danny Shelton's big. I think he can give Nate Davis some problems. He can even give Ben Jones some problems. They fit their run lanes well. They run like a lot of cool run blitzes too. I think they're just going to be like, they're going to be prepared for Tennessee's offense some.
I just don't think they are. I think you may say they're going to be prepared, but it's not going to matter. I don't think it's going to matter because on the offensive side for New England, they're not going to be able to put up points or, better thing, they're not going to stay out on the field long enough to where I feel like that New England's defense is constantly going to be out there, and once you're getting towards the end, it's going to be a struggle. I just don't have confidence in this team whatsoever. I feel like they've been set up for failure. Maybe I'm wrong.
Failure.
They've been set up for failure here, whether it be by the owner, by the coach, by the quarterback. Definitely not by the quarterback. Somebody's setting somebody up here.
Huh.
Come on.
How do you think they're going to cover A.J. Brown? You think Brown should win Rookie of the Year?
No for Rookie of the Year, but I don't know
how. Even they're just going to follow Gilmore around for it?
Yeah, exactly. That's all you have to do. Even though Gilmore couldn't cover Devontae Parker to save his life. That's what I'm talking about, man. And you can't even say that the Miami game meant nothing. Oh, and by the way, Devontae Parker went off against Gilmore.
He's been awesome all year.
And Gilmore, we've talked about it. Gilmore, even, I can't remember, he like said something about other corners in the past. He said nothing about Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker went off, and they did one-on-one, I think the entire game, too.
Yeah.
Either way, that's what I'm talking about. What New England defense are we going to get here? And on the other side of the ball, is the offense going to be able to do anything with, like what I was saying, Edelman's going to blow up the moment he gets a hard hit. Every bone in his body's crushed.
It's bad.
It's bad. If he's out on the field, he may die.
He's like the wrestler right now.
He is the wrestler. That's a good way to put it.
Like, he's every last hit he has, you're like, okay, this may be the last one.
He's going to get on top of the turnbuckle, and he's going to die.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. And New England should not be putting him out there. And N'Keal Harry's not going to be able to do anything in pressure situations.
Well,
Tom hates him.
I don't know. I mean, like, they're doing different things. They're doing interesting things with him where it's like he's running like those quick, like, they're doing interesting things to get him the ball where they're running like play action passing, that sort of thing. And that's what I wanted to bring up too. Like, how is New England going to be able to manufacture a passing game against Tennessee? Because the Titans have a good pass rush, but they have they don't have like a lockdown cornerback, but they have a bunch of good cornerbacks. Logan Ryan's good. Malcolm Butler's good. Kevin Byard's great. Kane Vaccaro's good. Tremaine Brock's been good in Tennessee, which is one of the weirdest things that's happened this year. Dory Jackson's supposed to play this weekend, too. And so they can cover all of New England's, sneaky wide receivers they have all over the place. But I do think one of the things the Patriots have done well recently in that Bills game especially was use the screen game to their advantage to attack the Bills' aggressive front. Doing a lot of like misdirections, looking one way for a long time and throwing back the other direction. And I think Brady's going to have a lot of time to throw. The Titans can't really create a pass rush at all. And they don't even blitz that much at all either, which is kind of surprising for Dean Pees coach defense too. So, I think Brady's going to have a lot of time as well in this game.
If that's the case, then maybe you'd be changing my mind. But I don't even think he's going to have a lot of time. That offensive line has been awful.
It's been okay.
It's been awful.
I mean, it's been awful.
It's been the worst of his career.
No. The worst of his career was 15 when Payton won the Super Bowl.
No.
Yeah, they just ran right around their tackles over and over again.
No.
Brady was like 18
times.
I'm
just going to call you a liar at this point because you're a traitor with the jersey you're wearing. So that's what I'm going to go with, okay? I think my point has been proven. Thank you. And also, is this the last game, Matt, for Tom Brady in New England?
I don't think so.
Okay, you're not. You're not on that bandwagon.
No, I just think it's juicy. And also, it's one of those things, too. Everybody keeps bringing this up for, what, like 5 years now?
Yep.
This big rift, how much they don't like each other. I don't know.
But at this point, it's not really.
I think they're just trying to create conflict to add intrigue to a story that you already know.
But they don't like each other, and it's battle of the ego.
You think they like each other?
No, not at all. It's this easy. Matt, they don't have the bond relationship like a Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich, where both of them give the other credit. Have you ever had Bill Belichick say that he gives Tom credit?
I don't think he really gives anybody credit.
Do you ever hear Tom say that he gives Bill Belichick credit?
No.
I think he says like coaching staff and things like that.
I mean, I think it's something that they'll do after they both retire.
Maybe.
It's such a team game.
Oh, no, I completely agree with you, but it's really, with the battle of the ego at that point, we would be the same way. If we were great and we had the best show ever, which we do, the problem is you're a traitor, so nobody wants to listen to a Buffalo Bills podcast. So either way, if we were that and we won all the awards together, our egos would be big because I would think that it's because of me, not because of you.
I don't have an ego, though.
Okay.
So I wouldn't care. But yeah, Taylor's happy. It's cool.
Is that why you throw your hand through your hair all the time and say, Taylor, why am I so good looking?
I don't ever do that.
You do that all the time.
Taylor, I don't ever do that.
You did it right now. You're like Sean Hunter from Boy Meets World.
I don't understand. I don't like being called an 80s villain at all. I just wanted to grow my hair out a little bit.
Whatever, man.
Before it becomes completely gray and bald. And I would actually like to
grow. Like mine?
I want to become a pony. I want to become a gray hair ponytail. So I want to be.
That's gross.
With a goatee.
Dude, your grandpa would beat the crap out of you.
I'm such a good stepfather. The last thing I'm going to bring up is the Titans have a really good run defense. And I think the Patriots' power run game is going to struggle at times against them, especially trying to block Rashawn Evans. And, like, Ted Karras had a pretty good game against Buffalo. But, I don't know. It hasn't been as good as it's previously been. And, like, Elaine Roberts is enormous as a fullback, but he just, like, runs past guys a lot. Like, he's just straight line. And if you make one move, you can get around him some, too. And that's affected their run game as well.
Well, whenever it comes down to it, so do you think that with Tennessee that there would be any type of Deion Lewis going to get some action here? Or do you think that Deion Lewis, because for me, talk about a guy who's taking a step back. I don't know what happened to him.
He just doesn't play that much. Like, they don't, the Titans have never really figured out how to use him.
Not at all.
And then that's part of playing with Marcus Mariota. It's like watching the Titans and Mariota, it's like, oh yeah, you completely forget they have Corey Davis. So wait, they have, oh yeah, they gave M. Humphreys $12 million this offseason, kept him from New England. Oh yeah, A.J. Brown is one of the most wild physical specimens in the wide receiver position.
We just have to throw him up the ball?
And you forget about him completely. And with Tannehill, you're like, oh, they've always had these guys. They just didn't have the quarterback who really had the, I don't know, the gusto to actually push the ball downfield and when to actually have the ball in his hands.
They didn't have the cannon. So on the other side then, Michelle, does he turn it around? Does he go back to Sony Michelle playoff from last year?
Well, I'm not expecting them to do much on the ground. Like, if New England wins this game, it's
going to do?
It's going to be a lot of Edelman, a lot of passing the ball to
nine
different guys. Man,
Edelman's
going to
die. We just discussed this. What do you mean it's going to be a lot of Edelman?
I mean, I just think it's going to be...
He's like a decoy.
Like, Brady's going to complete a pass to 10 different receivers if they win this game. And he's going to throw for like 6 yards an attempt, and there's not going to be a pass rush at all. And they're just going to know how to, you know, find holes in Tennessee's defense. Like, that's how they would win this game.
I really want New England to lose.
Yeah.
I really do.
So is that why you're picking Tennessee?
I am picking Tennessee because, of course, I have to ride my boat here of the cannon. So I have Tennessee Titans. I want to see how they're going to do, but I'm going to say 28, New England. 25.
I have New England 24, Tennessee 20. So I'm good Tennessee with the points. I think New England wins, but they win close. I think Tennessee covers.
No, I think, well, no matter what, Tennessee covers, but I think Tennessee is going to be able to pull this one out.
Yeah, okay. It's just a hard spot for them to play.
I know, but
I just
New
like
England
until
been so awful,
unless
man.
Unless New England's playing Kansas City or Baltimore, I'm expecting them to win.
But it's like even last week against Miami, you could say whatever, it's the last game, but it meant something. It meant playoff seeding.
Yeah,
and they still lost to Miami.
Well, you know, your heroes can't get everything right every time.
They're supposed to. They're heroes.
Well, your heroes are gonna fall eventually.
Then they're not heroes.
We're all just sandcastles, Taylor.
I'm not a sandcastle.
All right. So
I'm
the next
stone castle.
The next game we have here, the Seattle Seahawks playing the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are at home. They're 2-point favorites. And if this game would happen 3 weeks ago, if the playoffs started, you know, a month ago, I would have picked Seattle to make it to the Super Bowl. I really liked what they were doing. Their offense has been a lot of fun to watch, where it combined their really good run scheme that was led by Chris Carson just breaking a ton of tackles, kind of like what Marshawn, like a lighter version, the Natty Light version of what Marshawn Lynch did whenever he was there in Seattle. And even that one really like strange year that, man, what's his name? Thomas Rawls have, where Rawls led the league in broken tackles and has completely disappeared.
I remember Rawls.
But yeah, he was awesome that
sounded
year.
Sounded like a Tootsie Rolls, and that's how I always remembered him.
Okay, I get it. And then also with Russell Wilson just being a magician, throwing the ball downfield to Metcalf and Lockett, and their other kind of like secondary receivers like David Moore, and there's another guy's name I'm blanking on. I don't know what's wrong with me. Malik Turner. He's a good downfield receiver as well, too. And so that was what they were doing. It was working very well in offense. Russell Wilson, you know, was my personal choice for MVP. It still is. And then everybody got hurt. Dwayne Brown got hurt. They were starting, you know, the weirdest left. Their entire left side of their offensive line was hurt. Jadeveon Clowney played last week against San Francisco. Do you know what his box score was?
It had to be nothing, nothing, and nothing.
One tackle, one pressure.
Yeah.
I think Garoppolo was 25 of 28 in completions.
By the way, I didn't even know that he did play.
Yeah,
I didn't see him at all.
One is the same thing in that game against Los Angeles where Clowney played, but he didn't make anything happen at all.
And you love Clowney. And yeah, I love Clowney. Houston didn't want to pay Clowney.
Well,
so do you think that maybe they made the right choice?
No, they could have. He was on the franchise tag.
Whatever, man.
They're sitting on $35 million of cap space.
I think you're just being pretty
They sent wrong. Seattle $7 million to take on Clowney. But he said he wanted to stay this year and play. He said he was going to play on the tag, the whole sort of thing. So because of all the injuries, that's why I'm a little bit lackluster in Seattle now. And it's very disappointing. Whereas like New Orleans is healthy at the right time. Minnesota's getting healthy. The exact opposite thing has happened for Seattle so far.
All right. So whenever it comes to Seattle Seahawks, I'm with you. This was, and now it's all coming down to the magician if he can pull some rabbits out of his hat here. But he's also going up against a team that is banged up as well. So it's, what do you think Philly's going to do here? Just all out blitz? Do you think that that's all Schwartz is going to do is just load the box?
They're like 22nd blitz rate. I think they.
But I know he's starting to do it more and more.
A little more than he has previously.
And it's only because, like we're talking about, with those type of injuries, he's going to try to take advantage. Is Marshawn still going to be the starter?
Well, Marshawn and Preston Scott, not Preston Scott, Marshawn and Homer, they combined for like 3.5 yards a carry.
That's what I mean.
Lynch, I think, had 12 carries for 36 yards.
Hey, man, I said he was only going to get about 8 carries and that was it.
He had 2 touchdowns, though.
Look at that.
Now, Lynch had 12 carries for 34 yards, 2 touchdowns. Homer Lynch combined for 22 for 96.
I feel like you would just use Lynch, though, for like a Marion the Barbarian type style on the goal line. But that's about it. Man, yeah, you're going to have to depend on a lot on Russell Wilson making some stuff happen.
And
he can, though, against his secondary. That's the thing. We can say whatever we want about what Philly did, but they went up against the NFC East. So now Russell Wilson has been losing games, even with last week against San Francisco, of controversial plays, no calls, calls all around. But they were still in the game against a very tough San Francisco team, even with the injuries. So my only point is, with Philly having the same amount, if not more, they still got a really damn good shot.
Yeah, for sure. Fletcher Cox is a big problem. Brandon Graham's a big problem.
That's what I mean. No. That front, what is it, front seven, front eight that they have?
Their four is Barnett, who hasn't been all that great.
He's good last year.
Jernigan got healthy. Jernigan's healthy now.
So, I mean, that's what I mean, though. It's really, I feel like Schwartz is going to all out blitz because that secondary is so terrible that Russell Wilson's going to be able to take advantage of it. And he has, Metcalf is going to be able to get open. Mm-hmm. Lockett's going to be able to get open. Things are going to happen. So the only thing that you could really get away with is selling out because they have zero run game.
But I don't think they even need a blitz all that much to create pressure. The Seahawks are 31st in pressure rate. And also the other thing to that adds into it, though, is they run like a mostly vertical offense. So it takes a while for things to get open, that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, Wilson's made 5 of the best throws I've seen all season himself. Like, if I had the 10 best throws I've seen this year, it'd be like, Wilson, 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 Wilson. That throw to John Brown, Josh Allen made against the Patriots in week 16. Probably Wilson. And then Watson's touchdown pass to Kenny Stills against New England.
Mine would be Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott.
All against that Minnesota game. Or no, they'd be all against like the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, it'd be all against Miami too.
The other thing, so what do you think about these wide receivers? How does this make you feel? It's kind of like a Rorschach test. Boston Scott, you like that? Dallas Goedert. Am I speaking?
Goedert is different though, because Goedert was actually a pick that Dallas was going to make in the second round until Philly traded to move up to get him.
Am I speaking your love language right now, Taylor?
You're not speaking any love language for me right now.
Miles Sanders.
And Scott's been fine.
Joshua Perkins.
Better than Sanders.
Joshua Perkins.
What'd you call me?
Deontay Burnett.
Burnett's okay.
Greg Ward.
I like Greg Ward.
I like him too. Robert Davis. You like these guys?
I like Greg Ward.
Is this making you feel
he's
something?
Better than Aguilar.
Aguilar did not practice.
Yeah, he's not
playing. Or no, he was limited in practice. He may play this week.
He's play. You can like get Butterfingers out.
And the Seahawks are also 30th in sack rate, too. So, I mean, I think this game is just going to be, unless Clowney's healthy. And one of the frustrating things about Seattle's front seven is that onset hasn't been good. And also, last year, they were really great running stunts. Like, Twin Jefferson was awesome. Jerome Reed. Ertz has a lacerated kidney. He's probably not going to play.
Holy crap. I thought it was just the rib.
No, that's what happened that first play last, again, that Dallas game. He lacerated his kidney.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But Seattle, they just don't run stunts like they did last year. I think this would create a lot of their pass rush. It wasn't necessarily just winning one versus one matchups, by Jefferson and Reed were great setting up Frank Clark for sacks. And this year, they're not doing that same thing as well, too. So, yeah, they're 30th in sack rate, and their pass rush is bad. So I think it's just going to be like Zach Ertz having a long time to throw and create open throws against
Wentz.
Wentz is going to have a lot of time to throw, and also Doug Peterson does a really great job creating easy throws for his quarterbacks, too. And I like Philly to do just enough. And this also is a game, too, where this game happens every year, or like every few years or every 2 years, I don't know. And this is always the game where you're like, yeah, that team's bad. They shouldn't be in the playoffs at all. And they end up winning this damn game anyways, you know? Like, it's always, oh, they should not win this one at all. And somehow it ends up happening anyways.
So, just want to clarify. I hate the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz has shown some freaking heart, man. I have never been more impressed by a quarterback in the longest time, to where so many people have talked smack about him, including myself, where he has had all of his weapons just die off, and he has had to replace him over and over again, along with some offensive linemen. It is damn impressive what he is being capable of. And he's just gunning the ball. I mean, that's all he's doing. He's just throwing the ball. The passes are great. He has done really well to turn the Philadelphia Eagles into a team that could win the playoff against Seattle, which I think they are. Kind of to your point, with Seattle not being able to rush the passer against Wentz, if you allow Wentz to have all day, he's going to screw you.
Because
even though those guys are backups, they can still do things. And you're not going to want them to get open, especially Greg Ward. Dude, Greg Ward's going to smoke you.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do. I'm just extremely impressed with Carson Wentz. And to your other point, Doug Peterson, man, bravo. Everyone once again doubted your team. Everyone said that you were still on the Super Bowl high. This is just really impressive that a coach can still make his team believe. Now they're just the underdogs the entire time. That's what the fans are going to get behind. Seattle's going to have a rough one here, but it's going to be so close.
It's funny, too, because their wide receiver group reminds me of their cornerback group last year. Where everybody got hurt, it was bad, and then
all of a sudden,
oh, Maddox is awesome.
Flipped
LeBlanc, LeBlanc or LaCroix. I don't know.
It's LaCroix.
Yeah. LaCroix is the soda water. If whatever it was.
I don't know what it is.
But they all start playing really good out of nowhere, too. And you're like, wait a second. Now their cornerbacks are good. And, you know, Foles threw that bad interception that ruined that game against New Orleans that they probably should have won.
You're talking about that was off the tip. That was off Alshon.
He was high.
No, it wasn't. Stop it. Alshon should have caught that. That was a perfectly thrown ball. I'm pretty sure it went through his hands.
It was high.
Don't you dare put that blame on Jesus Christ himself.
It was on Foles. I also think Wentz is a better follower of Christ than Foles is now.
That's what you're going to say. That's impossible.
After the year Foles just had. Broken collarbone, hanging out with the devil down Jacksonville.
Yeah, you can't ask for it all from God. He gave you the Super Bowl.
You have to have some conflict.
Yeah, what is going on here? Maybe, what, you get it all?
Maybe the rest of his life is like Job now. Yeah. But now it's kind of opposite. Like the Eagles, where their entire receiver group is hurt. And now it's like in the year, it's like, I kind of like Boston Scott. I kind of like Greg Ward.
Scott looks
Goddard, now that he's the number one tight end, is actually playing really well.
I really wish Dallas would have gotten him. That pisses me off so much, man.
You don't like Blake Jarwin?
He didn't get enough snaps, so I won't say anything. I can't.
Yeah.
Witten took them all.
What about what about Hannah? You miss Hannah?
No, I don't miss Hannah.
He was a second-round pick from San Jose State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a great job.
That was fun. So I have Philadelphia winning 25-22. If this game was 4 weeks ago, I would pick the Seahawks to make the Super Bowl, but I just think they're too injured. I like their pass rush. I like their offensive line. And, like, if they win, it's all because of Russell Wilson.
Dude, I have Philadelphia 27. I have Seattle 25.
And to clarify, too, the Eagles are 2-point underdogs at home. And this, again, like, this also just seems like this team is supposed to lose, that they always end up winning at the same time.
Seattle's just too banged up. If they were all healthy, then it would be like, oh, Seattle's going to tear them apart.
Yeah.
But they're not.
I mean, I would love for nothing more than Clowney to have, you know, 3 sacks, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery.
Do you have his jersey, too, underneath
6.
That
no,
Josh
I don't
Allen
have
one?
A Clowney one?
Are you going to reveal another NWO shirt? There it is. Oh, no, you don't have anything.
I got this jersey.
Poser.
I got the jersey tucked in.
No, good. That's good. I'm glad.
Oh, man. You gotta love the gift of giving.
No, nobody loves that. Okay, nobody loves what you're wearing right now. Don't try to turn the subject around.
I really want
you're like saying like it's poverty or something like charity, and that's what you're like, you're doing it for a good cause.
No, I'm not.
You're
doing
it for yourself, Matt, because you're selfish.
No, I was very lucky to get this as a present.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you know what I got? I got a Dak Prescott jersey.
Where is it?
Dude, it's at the house. I've been so ashamed to wear it. I usually I'd be excited that I got a jersey for the first time, but I'm not excited because Jason Garrett's still my head coach at this point. I really wish my father would have gotten me a Jason Garrett jersey.
Oh,
just so I would hate him for life and I would laugh my ass off because I'd probably wear it. If Jason Garrett's still my coach next year, I'd wear that jersey.
Gotcha. Well, see, I got this Johnson one for $25 after he retired on the Texans team store.
Dude, I knew you were a traitor the moment you got that. The moment you were wearing it, I called you out for being a traitor. You like that?
I really want to go to this Texans playoff game and wear that jersey whenever Houston has the ball, and then take it off whenever the Bills have the ball.
You'd be the worst fan. Maybe everybody would throw things at
maybe
you.
Maybe I'll do that this weekend.
That'd be the one time that I'd see Houston fans actually throw things at somebody, and even the security people would be like, dude, what are you doing?
Come with me.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I got the principles.
What is this?
So the last game we have here, 3:30, which is bad news for Minnesota. Gives those Cajuns a little more time to get gumboed up. Minnesota
good.
At New Orleans. The Saints are 8-point favorites. So Kirk Cousins' playoff stats, you ready for them?
Oh, you know what? I know they're hot. Give them to me.
Are you ready for them? 3 for 10, 31 yards.
Oh, God.
3.1 yards an attempt.
Oh, no.
30% completion percentage. Do you know what year this was?
Take it back.
You know what year this was?
No, 2 years ago.
This was 2012.
Oh, God.
This was after RG3 tore his knee. And they had to bring Kirk Cousins in against the Seattle Seahawks.
Wait, he hasn't been in the playoffs?
Has not been in the playoffs in the 7 years since then.
Wait, what?
Yeah. His only playoff start, 3 for 10.
I didn't know that.
31 yards, 3.1 yards an attempt, 30% completion percentage. A lot of threes here.
A lot of threes. It's a good sign, right?
Three's lucky.
He's going to throw for 300 yards and 3 TDs against
lucky.
The Saints.
So, yeah, I'm excited for this game, though. I'm excited to prove a point. I'm ready for it.
I don't think your point's going to be proven, I hate to say.
The one thing that concerns me is that Minnesota is a really good play-action team. They love play-action.
They have all the healthy guys.
8.7 yards of play on play-action. New Orleans play-action defense is 19th. They're great against non-play-action plays. Also, their deep pass DVOA is 20th. They're really bad covering the deep middle, but Cousins is a coward and doesn't throw the ball in the deep middle of the field. To the deep middle part of the field, Cousins is 9 for 18, 286 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception.
He has Adam Thielen back, man.
He has Thielen back. Diggs is back.
Yeah. Cook's back. He's got his guys. This is what you wanted. As Minnesota, as
yeah,
you as the owner,
what you
this
want.
Is what you want.
Yeah, good for
everything
them.
Everything is set up for them. Dude, I think
well,
this is Minnesota's.
No.
Oh, I'm going to go there.
Here's the other thing against them, though. They can't cover. They haven't been able to cover
just
all year.
Just quadruple Michael Thomas.
It doesn't matter, though.
Yeah, it does. Who else are you going to throw it to? Is Cook.
They still couldn't cover
him. He's going to throw
him.
It to Jared Cook. That's it.
And Kamara.
Yeah, they may use Kamara. They'll use Kamara for 2 plays. Kamara will get 30 yards. And then they'll say, Kamara, you're doing too good. We have to sit you down. We have to
throw
it.
Well, he finally had a good game against Tennessee.
He's been fine. They just don't use him enough.
I mean, he finally was like breaking a bunch of tackles, had a great game against them.
It doesn't matter. They don't use him enough like they should.
This is the problem I see for Minnesota.
Ooh.
One, Kirk Cousins is a coward. And this whole like, he's a top 5 MVP candidate this year. No, he's not. Just wait.
He's
yeah,
top
if
10.
He's an MVP candidate when he attempts 10 passes, completes 8 of them for 132 yards. But New Orleans' offensive line is entirely healthy. No more Will Clapp out there. Will Clapp is gone. They've allowed 25 sacks this season. They're first in just a sack. They're first in pressure rate. They're in just a sack rate. The Vikings' entire pass defense is composed of their pass rush. I think they're going to struggle against Terron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk. Griffin Hunter have combined for 22.5 sacks, 46 quarterback hits, 99 pressures. But I think they're going to struggle against those two guys. And unless Griffin and Hunter are just absolutely tremendous and purple people eaters. Purple Peter eaters and that sort of thing.
Purple Peter eaters. Yeah. That's who they are. It's the Purple Peter eaters.
There's too many P's. Peter Piper, pizza, Purple Peter.
Peter Piper, pizza. Oh, I got
it's that. Hard, right? Yeah, picking peppers.
Peter Piper, pizza, Purple Peeper eaters.
You're pretty good.
Oh, I almost got it.
Yeah, you're pretty good. My brain's very slow.
Man, it happens.
But I just don't think they're going to be able to get that much of a pass rush. And they can't cover very well. And I think Breeze is just going to, you know, nibble them to death.
I don't know. I really don't have faith in this Saints team. I think it's because maybe I want them to lose because I hate Saints fans and I hate the New Orleans Saints. Man, they just have this now. We deserve this.
Oh, yeah.
This is
last year.
No. This is ours. No, you guys don't understand. This is something like, come on, we should win. Like, this is us. I'm tired of them. I want them to lose. I want Kirk Cousins to take them down, which I agree with all your secondary notions with Minnesota, and I think they're not going to get much pressure on Drew Brees. But Drew Brees doesn't have really any weapons but Michael Thomas and Jared Cook. And is Jared Cook out of is he healthy?
Yeah, Cook's healthy.
Okay, because I know that he had a lot of concussion protocol. But either way,
I mean, who isn't this time of year?
That's true. Michael Thomas, if you shut him down, you have a big shot. I think that should be your only game plan going into this. And if you can do that, you're going to win. And I think Minnesota can do this.
But they haven't been able to cover anybody that well. And also, New Orleans is so good at just getting them open. So, they're so good at running routes based off their coverage and
then
running
do you just
option routes.
That Kirk Cousins has to control the ball then? And that it has to be Dalvin Cook just running? That they have to just control the entire clock?
I mean, I think what they have
to
do
out of his hands?
Is they should just play one safety deep and just have like eight guys in zone coverage, just covering the entire short part of the zone because Breeze doesn't really throw the ball downfield all that much.
Why is that, Matt?
I guess it's kind of a...
Is he a coward?
No, you know he has that weird like long bicep vein?
No, I
like,
don't
like that's
know
his arm. Next time you check out his arm, he has this weird like...
You know what? I'm going to look at that vein.
He has this weird long bicep vein.
That's a good vein.
It's kind of noodly. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's like he doesn't have the arm strength to really push the ball downfield at all anymore. And we saw it last year too. Like, I mean, that Rams game was ugly. He was atrocious that game.
The tire blew out in his arm.
Yeah, I think it was kind of good for him this year to only play as many games as he did, even though he should be on the bench. And, you know, Bridgewater 5-0, he's 8-3 this year. But I think him playing 11 games kind of helped him out as well, too.
No, we agreed. It's because I think whenever it came to this year, we both thought that he would blow his arm out because it's Drew Brees style.
Yeah, but I mean, I picked him to miss the playoffs.
No, you did. I did not do that.
I did.
Yeah, but
I picked Carolina to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and you cowered out on Tampa Bay, so.
Yeah.
But when it comes going back to Drew Brees, him missing those games truly did help, and he seems still refreshed to be able to throw the ball downfield, but he's not.
He's zipping.
He's zipping. There's
short.
Still some,
he's such a good short thrower.
There's still
he's
some
so
speed
intelligent.
Behind the ball.
Yeah.
I just also, I think Sean Payton's arrogance.
Yeah,
I
do. He is.
I want New Orleans to lose. I have never been so against New Orleans like I am now. Everything is just...
How do you think the Vikings are going to cover Taysom Hill? That's the big question for this game.
No, it's not. And I'm tired of that, too. Oh, look at Taysom. He's got another touchdown. Who gives a crap?
I'm so tired. Dude, he blocks punts.
You know what also?
He
you know what you should
touchdowns.
Love? Is whenever you talk touchdowns. To Saints fans, hey, so who's your quarterback after Drew Brees? If Drew Brees were to retire, oh, Taysom Hill.
Yeah, because they're all racist.
That's okay. New Orleans is racist. That's
yeah.
what you went with.
Yeah, I had to.
The city where everybody says is like the greatest to go to a football game.
I'd like to go sometime.
Dude, we need to go to the Dome.
I just like the guy who dresses like Master Chief.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool guy.
What if you dress like the alien and show
Oh,
up?
The heretic?
Yeah.
And stab him in the back with the sword.
Yeah, but like get like a real sword?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Uh-huh. Go to jail.
If... This is the game I feel most confident about. So the Saints are 8-point favorites. I've been winning 30. I have Minnesota scoring 20 points. And also, the other thing to remember, too, is the Saints have a really great run defense.
All right.
Demario Davis is awesome. They got some Manateo out there.
My way. This is when I get myself into trouble. Because we're going to do it, baby. We have Minnesota 33. We have New Orleans 31. We're doing this.
Okay.
We're doing this, baby. Kirk Cousins with Thielen, with Diggs, with Cooks. This is it. This is everything. I believe in him. And this is my time where I'm going to be proven right on Kirk Cousins, where he can win a playoff game because the New Orleans Saints are better with Teddy Bridgewater, according to Matt Weston.
Oh, now this is what happens.
Okay. So what do you got?
So Bridgewater gets hurt. Bridgewater comes in. They're down by 10, leads the game-winning drive, ties the game up. Then
he doesn't have enough time to do this.
Then Kirk Cousins throws the ball deep downfield. There should be a pass interference penalty, but they don't call it. The Saints pick it off. They run back for a touchdown. They challenge it. Not enough evidence. The Saints win. That's what's going to happen.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Teddy doesn't have enough time to come back from 10 points. He needs like 30 minutes to come back from 10 points.
I think New Orleans is kind of screwed the next round, but this is the game where they win. They look spectacular. And then next week they have trouble.
All right, man. I'll let you. By the way, let's have dinner on this.
On this?
On this.
I'm not even hungry.
Okay. All right. I'm done with you.
All right, yeah.
You know, why don't you go watch some Jameis Winston tape on his interceptions and touchdowns?
How about we bet dinner on the Bills game on Saturday?
Oh, okay, Trader. I can happily do that.
Okay, sounds good.
And you're during the day, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and we're going out to dinner Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah.
For the other game. Okay, cool.
Sounds good. So to recap Trader. Here.
You're the worst. You're like betting against it. You're the worst person alive. I hope the Texans win.
I hope the Texans win, too.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I really want them to. So I have the Bills winning 23, the Texans 20. You have Houston 24, the Bills 16, and the Texans are 2.5-point favorites. The Saturday night game is Tennessee versus New England. The Patriots are 4.5-point favorites. I have New England 24, Tennessee 20. You have Tennessee 28, New England 25. Seattle versus Philadelphia. The Eagles are 2-point underdogs at home. I have Philly 25-22. You have Philly 27-25. Sunday afternoon, 3:30. Minnesota versus New Orleans. I have New Orleans 30, the Saints 20. You have Minnesota 33, the Saints 31. Any parting words at all?
Yeah. Whenever I win against the Houston versus Buffalo, you need to also say that Josh Allen looks to run before throws.
No.
You have to say that.
No.
I mean, that should be a part of the bet.
No, it's not part
Why
of
not?
It.
Why not? It's the truth.
No, because I don't lie on the show.
Oh, God. You lie all the lie. Time.
That's your parting words?
Yeah, I got nothing else, but I'm depressed. I'm like so depressed right now. I have a senile owner.
You're so brave right now.
What do you mean I'm so brave?
That you're recording this podcast right now in the mental state that you're in? You're so
Dude,
brave.
I'm like not healthy.
You're so brave.
Probably gonna die.
Wow. So I have nothing else except give the podcast 5 stars. Give your favorite Josh Allen podcast 5 stars.
No, no, no. Don't do that. Don't
give
do that at all.
Your favorite Houston Texans podcast.
You give it five stars for the Houston Texans just to give the middle finger to Matt. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we'll be back on Monday. We'll review this Texans Bills game with BFD. I'll write some film room next week on the game. We'll preview some things
Jameis
up.
Stuff.
We'll cook it up hot in the pot. No, Jameis is all for the offseason. I'm going to be like really sad missing football. I'm going to be like, oh, wait, dude, what's that light out there? Oh, I can just sit here
Watch Jameis
and
video.
Make 150 clips, put it in a 10-minute long video that's going to be like 5 megabytes, try to upload to Twitter, have it not work.
That's
and
good.
Then, but then just have it for my own personal satisfaction.
It's healthy.
I'll probably have to break it up in like 3 different things. So we'll see.
Yeah, probably.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I don't want to make that.
Enjoy happen. Your football watching weekend. This is the second best weekend in sports. Next weekend's even better. The divisional round where we get the big boys on the field, you know? Mm,
you love the big boys, don't you?
No, I love all big people. I love all people.
Oh, okay.
Skinny people.
You're so nice. God, what an inspiration to us all.
People who
Josh Allen all the way.
What's your New Year's resolution?
To not be a Dallas Cowboy fan.
That works out.
Yeah.
Mine is to be more earnest.
How about to not wear a Josh Allen
to
jersey?
To not be ironic.
Okay. All right.
To live as beautifully as the sun itself in the sky.
What's your problem? Why? You can't even. Nobody can do that.
This is
now you're asking for the impossibility.
This is the shamanhood. So in the meantime, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Outward Radio. Thank you for going tonight, Taylor. And again, we'll be back on next Sunday night or Monday night to talk about this Texans Bills game.
Please fire Jason Garrett.
That sounded good to me. I thought it was pretty good.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.